This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, CME's results nudging up as Q3 results already show Atlantic drift. The big news of the week, the New York Stock Exchange plans 22 by 5 trading days. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 269. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days could be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. In bit carnage this week, we were perplexed by the concept of virtual tax for virtual currency. In a new move for governments, but unlikely to be the last because so many are bust, Denmark are planning to implement the world's first crypto unrealized gains tax. What could possibly go wrong? In essence, the threat looks more like legislative passive aggression. How to say we want to ban this without actually saying we will ban this? If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day in Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. Over in the world of exchanges, the parish of marketplaces, the Tokyo exchanges, they've had an embarrassing moment. JPX has had to announce that the Tokyo Stock Exchange has an employee under probe for alleged insider trading. Meanwhile, in a shock, as Patrick McConnell put it on LinkedIn, turkeys do not vote for Christmas. Although, ironically, they seem to actually vote for Christmas. The controversy was around the ASM annual general meeting. Exasperation was evident when it came to recommended votes at AGMs. The arrogant, unapologetic ASX was facing a backlash, which frankly could not come soon enough, and the Australian advocacy group, the Australian Shareholders Association, was underwhelmed by the performance of the entire ASX board, C-suite et al. Nonetheless, in what was a rather odd announcement, they didn't really come out equivocally against what was going on, but nonetheless there was a tiny so-called first strike. Turkeys therefore broadly supported the Christmas agenda. The market operating ASX has to state, in accordance with ASX Listing Rule 3.132F, that ASX Limited advises that more than 25% of the votes cast on Resolution 3 were against the adoption of the 2024 Remuneration Report, which constitutes a first strike for the purposes of the Corporations Act 2001. What does that mean? Well, in a world where there were consequences for failure, this would make a difference. In a world where ASX faces the shareholders at its AGM and gets broad acquiescence, this signals a shameless business-as-usual stance, even while the ASX, the monopolistic market operator of Australia, the holder of the settlement licenses, is being sued by its own regulator, ASIC. Meanwhile, the issue of why the Philippines is building its capital market was a topic for the Business Times of Singapore. Interesting updates, IRS swaps are going to be returning to the Philippine market. Bond repo is being wooed once again. Looks as if there's going to be a Bloomberg platform for at least one or t'other, although that raises the question of just where the PDEX-PSE merger is as a deal. And indeed, is PSE, the Philippine Stock Exchange, really forward enough to produce a platform for exchange-traded derivatives on STIRS et al, as the nation really needs to develop? Over at CME, Terry Duffy looks, well, frankly, rattled. Duffy on Lutnick's challenge to CME Treasury dominance went the headline on Bloomberg as he went on the Bloomberg TV airwaves to, well, offer a firmly protectionist message. LTEL remains on the defensive and looks weak with this protectionist message, I fear. The GOP conflict of interest story is yet another canard thrown out by CME, which is campaigning with the same degree of competence as Harris Waltz currently. It's a tragedy to see the CME's marketing PR IR looking so dismal, but at least some say they did a nice job of ladies' golf. As things stand, LTEL is making all the noises about clearing in a market which essentially isn't in existence yet, and that sounds like a man very, very worried about this threat, even where I can't actually see yet that FMX has the bona fides to make it happen this time round. One organisation which may or may not have the bona fides to make it this time round is looking to cut headcount. Apparently, Bloomberg reckons that the London Stock Exchange Group is weighing cutting 200 jobs globally. The received wisdom on the street is it's a close-run thing, but Kamala is going down to defeat as I record this podcast, and that Reuters Financial Refinitiv LSEG, whatever you want to call it, is on a long road to decline. On the other hand, I suppose there's always a chance that Kamala can stage a bounce back. Clear Street poaches metals traders from LME floor trader Singba, according to sources. That's not the sort of Reuters headline we'd normally get very excited about, but there's one significant issue here. Rumour has it that Clear Street wants to join the LME ring. People who won't be joining the LME ring are Russia, amongst other members of the BRICS. Apparently Russia's in talks with the BRICS over a precious metals exchange. There was a big BRICS meeting last weekend which reminded us that everybody is talking, but actually doing may take years and may not happen at all, frankly. It was a big weekend where 32 nations turned up, plus the head of the UN to show that Vlad the Mad is not as isolated as the West might think in his Russian enclave. But that still makes it tough to see quite how BRICS really upends world trade and makes its exchanges work in the short to medium term. Despite optimism during the conference, for example, an Interfax headline, Russian Grain Exporters Union ceased trading on BRICS commodity exchange, topping $1 trillion in the future. How ironic, though, isn't the whole idea that they're supposed to break the dollar? Why you? Anyway, look, the point about this is it's complicated. At the same time, Nikkei Asia was saying Russia wants a BRICS to become OPEC for wheat, but will members buy it? While the Japan Times was looking at the concept BRICS once again meet to complain and vent frustrations. Not an unreasonable assertion overall whether or not they can bring a metals market, or indeed a grain market, to market in the near future, and quite what the quid pro quo unified currency might be to allow them all to settle. Over in India, very interesting signs. The top Indian bourse IPO hinges on approval from the regulator. That came from none other than CEO Ashish Kumar Chauhan. Now that's fascinating because this is positive in that if the CEO is saying that this is in public, it suggests progress. But then again, here we are, a generation on from the IPO first being mentioned, and still we don't have an IPO.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
Over in results this week, it was a busy week for results in the parish. All the details were in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. For the sake of this podcast, let's look at some edited highlights. CME Group, they reported all-time high record revenue. Very good numbers, actually. Overall, three-month total revenues up 18.43%, net income up 21.67%. Good results from CME, albeit there have been so many mediocre quarters over the years, questions will remain that the monopoly milker strategy is flawed. At the same time, for those who want to see clear Atlantic drift, there was none other than a great opportunity to view this on October the 24th. In the morning, London time, the LSEG beat expectations, shouted from the rooftops that it was a particularly strong quarter, and total income was plus 9.5%. The excitement there lasted all of about 4 hours before Nasdaq produced, well, a proper set of results. 3 month total revenues up 31.1%. Okay, so you might argue that in terms of what happened at Nasdaq, profits weren't too evident. But the point is, they're on a major program of reorganization at the moment, ingesting some fabulous acquisitions. And frankly, with revenue growing like that, the profits are going to be flowing very, very soon too from a much, much larger Nasdaq group, which soon could have LSEG, in terms of the overall market capital, in its sights. New markets this week. Well, here's one from Tanzania for you. While there's also a lot of exciting news about the Ethiopian stock exchanges, they're trying to gear that up for launch. Tanzania is selling cashew prices on the new commodities exchange. There's an eagerness for the Tanzanian Mercantile Exchange to be adopted as a major market for cashew prices by growers in Tanzania and around the country. The other thing that's interesting is Tanzania Mercantile Exchange is adopting the epithet TMX, which over the course of the last week has become quite controversial because there are all manner of current brickbats between the proposed Texas Stock Exchange and Canada's erstwhile monopolist, the Toronto Stock Exchange, as well as over TMX. Might the adoption of the Tanzanian Mercantile Exchange cause a fit of the vapours and rather intensive legal correspondence from Bay Street to the heart of Africa? Not so much news this week in deals, but interesting little aside, BGC Group, they've announced an agreement to acquire OTC Group Holdings. That's a major league oil broker and trading platform. Handy little Howard Lutnick acquisition there. If you want to try and understand how these acquisitions all come together, well, I suppose you could look back to July the 5th, 2024, when Exchange Invest was proud to have rung the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange. Well, I rang it, Patrick L. Young, because my original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, the first fintech breakthrough book in the fintech genre, was celebrating its 25th anniversary, and we've got a special edition of that out at the moment. It has over 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the last quarter century in perspective, alongside the original text, which has proven remarkably successful through the years. Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition is published by Exchange Invest, is now available as an ebook via Amazon Kindle at the ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter of the price of the original shorter print book a quarter century ago. While you're getting your Kindle copy of Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition, don't forget to check out our live stream video content. It's also available as a podcast too from your favourite podcast providers, but you can find this on Facebook, LinkedIn and YouTube. Just go to IPO-Vid. The live stream itself runs at Tuesdays, 7 o'clock London time, midday New York time, the IPO Video Live Show. Most recently, we had IPO vid number 158, which is coming up, and that is Bring Art to Market with our guest Yasir Benjaloun Toyumi, which was a fascinating show altogether. And coming up next week, we're going to have IPO vid 159, US Retail Equities Trading in Focus with Blocks Market CEO and co-founder Cody Asmoon. Our finance book of this week, well, it's a slightly nerdy one, Commodity Price Dynamics, a Structural Approach, illustrated edition. Well, some fascinating pictures there, by a former IPOVID guest, the wonderful Professor Craig Perron, utilising structural models to provide a better understanding of how commodities prices behave and what drives them. Product news this week. Well, that really our big story of the week. The New York Stock Exchange plans to extend weekday trading on its NYSE Arca Equities Exchange to 22 hours a day. The US stock trading revolution continues. The media made much of talking about Robinhood and their comparatives, but the game changer here was truly blue ocean trading, which has found an audience nobody realised even existed in parts of Southeast Asia. In the way Archipelago did a generation ago, all the way to reversing Peacoast into the then NYSE, the US establishment markets are now being led by Arca into a brave new world of almost all-day trading. To be fair, it's not a massive extension from the existing 0400 to 2000 hours on the platform, which dovetail the 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. floor session at NYSE itself. However, it is a key move to make NYSE Arca the market for US stocks all day long, with a big twist. Having said that, to understand that big twist, well, you need to see our daily newsletter, Exchange Invest. It's now available. It's going up in price shortly to $499 per annum. Catch it while it's still on its $375 price this week. You'll get a free 7-day trial as well. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't afford not to be an Exchange Invest subscriber if you want to understand the workings of the parish of markets. Over in regulation, the CFTC are going to be policing the betting platforms for political results. And of course, that was in a week when Kalshi already reached $100 million in matched bets. Over in the UK, outside of the CFT's remit, of course, also Betfair had reached over £100 million in bets during the same sort of time. The thing is, Chairman Benham is, as ever, continuing to dig himself into a deeper, deeper hole. He's not interested in the idea that he wants to actually regulate these markets, but the truth of the matter is that it looks as if he's going to have to regulate these markets because progress. Career Paths this week. A few months ago, we were discussing the departure from Hong Kong Exchanges of Chris Lee as International Managing Director. And I'm delighted to report that Chris has joined a fascinating AI startup growth entity, Bilby.ai. Great news all round, and all the best to all concerned. Also in Career Paths this week, the OCC, the Options Clearing Corporation, has welcomed two new members to its board of directors. As a public director, joining is Rachel Keller, a former financial executive, and as exchange director, they're adding Mike West, head of operations at the New York Stock Exchange. And that leads us actually elegantly into an announcement this week that led in Big World on Monday, October the 28th. Exchange Invest exists to champion the core model of the digital age, the exchange. PLY, that's me, is devoted to building the markets of the future. The best long-lasting marketplaces we have witnessed in history are developed where there are sound foundations in the rule of law and a strong history of democratic process. Just as there is much, much more which unites our incredible world than divides it, so too there are many, many more elements of unity which make the USA the greatest economy we've ever seen on Earth. It's our privilege to observe the greatness of the American economy and marvel at the incredible nation built over several centuries. We have all benefited from the dynamic economy of the USA built up over several centuries during our lifetimes, right down to this interweb thingy which enables me to talk to you today. From on high, does Atlanta have a Mount Sinai, I wonder? The word has come down, and I applaud Jeff Sprecher for this, as we heard the initiative was his to ensure that US voters take their mandate and use it in the electoral cycle. We, that's Exchange Invest and the entire production team here of this podcast, and also myself, PLY, could not agree more. If you have a vote, please go vote, whether you prefer him, her, a Taylor Swift write-in, whatever. In all seriousness, I urge all of you with the privilege of a vote in the upcoming elections to use your vote and deliver a mandate where a new president can undertake the arduous role of maintaining the incredible nation that has built the greatest economy in the history of mankind. The unity and continued prosperity of the USA benefits us all. If you have the chance, please vote on November the 5th, and plaudits to ICE and NYSE for leading with the utterly accurate message that more unites than divides the USA, whoever wins. Catch that 30-second video over on the ICE.com homepage. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange Invest Weekly podcast number 269. You can join us daily, as I've already exhorted you to, via exchangeinvest.com. Or if you have a new exchange you would like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you all a great week in life and markets.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.